As I listen to the chorus of that last song, it reminds me of some of the love letters I sent to my girlfriends in elementary school and high school. You know, you're my first love. You're my true love. You're the reason why I breathe. I want to give you all of me. Like, I remember this one time I got this letter from this girl, and she was so cute. And her name was Jordan Stacy, and she was just so cute. And I think I was in like grade two or something. And she wrote this letter to me, and she wrote at the top, she said, "You're the cutest boy I have ever seen in my whole life." And like, then what she did was, it was like the last day before Christmas where you like, you know, cleaned out everything out of your desk and so on and so forth. So she went to like go to the sink, which was in our classroom. And what she did was she walked by my desk, and she dropped this little love note into my garbage. And I was like, what's up with, why is she using my garbage pail? But then I realized, right, oh, she might be like she sent me something. And then I opened it up, and it's like this little letter, and it was like the nicest thing anyone had ever written to me, or so I thought. And anyways, over Christmas break, like, I wrote her one back. And of course, like, she tells me I'm the cutest thing that she's ever seen. I got to tell her that too. So I basically like copied her letter, only wrote it the other direction to her. But you know what's really, really interesting, as I was listening to that song, is that, and I want to be really honest with you guys, is that God is the only love that will never fail. Okay? Like, when I was young, like, I used to think, oh my goodness, I'm in love, right? And I was in love with like these girls or whatever. I remember I was in love with Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen for a really, really long time. Like, I had a dream that I was gonna like marry Mary Kate, and I was like, what will Ashley think? You know? Seriously, it was so, so weird. Maybe some of you guys have that for somebody, or like Ryan Gosling or something like that. I don't know. But I remember thinking, like, I'll find someone one day, and they're going to be perfect, and they're going to, like, complete me. And a lot of us grow up that way, that it's like, oh, my goodness, like, once I find the perfect person, they're going to be, like, incredible, right? And they're going to be amazing, and they're never going to fail, and they're never going to mess up, and they're going to be, like, my Prince Charming, and she's going to be my princess. And while we, like, use that language, what you guys have to understand now before you get there and get super, like, bummed out is that no one's perfect. No one's perfect. Like, my wife, she disappoints me. I disappoint my wife, okay? That happens. While she is my princess, she's a broken princess. And while I'm her prince, I'm a broken prince. And I sin, and I mess up, and I'm not perfect. And neither is she. But you know what? There's one lover that I have that will never fail me, that is always there for me, that's my first love, that's my true love, that is the reason that I breathe, and that's Jesus Christ, because of what he did for me. And because of that, I don't need to, like, base my identity or who I am on, like, how much Andrea loves me or if she thinks I'm amazing or whatnot, because God thinks I'm amazing. God loves me. And one thing I'm learning is that the more I, like, push towards Jesus, the happier Andrea actually is. And I think sometimes we do it the other way. It's like, if my girlfriend or boyfriend, some of you guys maybe are in relationships with non-Christians, which I don't recommend. Is it a sin? No. But would you eat a lawnmower? No. So it's not just not a good idea. it's just not smart. It's just not wise. There's a silly movie out, and it doesn't have the best morals in the world, but it's pitch perfect. And the girl at one point's like, sometimes I think I should do crystal meth, but then I'm like, nah, like, something like that, right? just ridiculous. Sorry for even, like, bringing that movie into the mix. But what I'm trying to get at is and we're not talking about love tonight. What we're talking about is hearing and doing the word of God. And we're going to get into that in a second. But what I want you guys to feel, like, tomorrow, some of you are single, and you're going to be like, oh, my goodness, this day is so, like, lame, right? Or especially as you get older and you continue to be single, you're going to be like, wow, this day just sucks. Like, everyone all over the world is just, like, in love. And that's not actually the case, because some people, like, get into marriage, and they think it's going to be perfect, and then they end up getting divorced, and then they're still mad that they're alone, like, so it just shows you that no human being can fill a hole in your heart that only God has placed there. All right? And I truly, truly mean that, that only God can fill the hole in your heart that is in there for that longing for another person. And before your future spouse fails you, understand they're going to fail you. Okay? They're going to suck, and you suck too. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try to be less sucky, but it just means that we're all imperfect, okay? So let's pray, and let's pray for our attitudes, okay? Let's pray for our attitudes that tomorrow, like, as much as, like, the world is going to be, you know, celebrating, let's pray that you and I would care more about what God thinks of us and find our identity in the fact that he loves us and that he is our true love and that he needs to be the reason why we breathe. And let's not sing that song, too, if it doesn't mean anything to us. Like, that's a pretty sweet promise that we get to make to Jesus. You're my first love. You're my true love. You're the reason why I breathe, and I want to give you all of me. And if we want to do that, let's actually do that, okay? So let's pray, and then we're going to jump into the Bible. God, I thank you so much for tonight. I thank you that we're here, that we're gathered. And Lord, this week is kind of a week where we focus a lot about love. And God, as I was thinking during that last song, God, I pray that we wouldn't fall into that temptation, Lord, where we put all of everything that we are into this relationship, God, or maybe even these feelings, Lord, because if these feelings are not for you, then we've gotten things completely out of whack. So God, may we be wise, and God, may you give us wisdom, and God, may we truly feel your love tonight in a new and an important and a special way. We pray this all in your name. Amen. If you were going to come on the retreat, we were going to go through, like, I had four sessions, like, planned and prepared to speak on in James. So I don't have to do any prep for the next 4 weeks because we're just going to, like, slide everything down. But now I got to do four new talks for the next retreat that we do, which I'm totally happy to do. But I can't save it because then we'd like skip too far, and I'm a bit of like a chronological guy. So right now we're in James 1:19, and Kyle, lovely Kyle, did a little Devo last time. Thank you, Kyle. That was really great. I didn't hear it, but I'm told it was awesome. Great work. Great work. We're going to be in James 19. How many of you have been in a conversation before, and generally for me this happens with either my wife now or my parents in the past, where they came to tell me something or ask me to do something, and I thought in advance that I knew what they were going to say. How many of you have been there before? Where it was like, they came up and you're like, Matt, it could be, I always tend to focus on the negative, and I apologize for that. Maybe they came up to you and was like, Matt, yes, you know, and you come up and it's like, I just want to, and you're like, I know, boo-doo-doo-doo-doo. And they're like, no, that is not it at all. Sometimes you can know, but sometimes you just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to be said. Now, if you've ever been in one of these situations before, the person that you were speaking with or was trying to speak to you might say back to you, I wish you would just listen to me. Have any of you ever heard that before? I hope I'm not alone. Have you ever heard that before? It's like, I wish you would just listen to what I was saying because you cut them off. And sometimes I think that our relationship with God is a little bit like this, okay? Where maybe you are reading the Bible and it's like, I already know what's coming. I studied that in Sunday school, right? And you're like, I don't need to read this. So it's like, oh, flip that about Noah, big deal, ark, animals, right? Maybe you get further places. Maybe it's, I'm speaking and you're like, lame, I already know this stuff, big deal. And so you kind of like shut off, or you're like, I know what he's going to say. And so it's not really that big of a deal for me to listen. Any of you been there before? Or maybe it's something else where a friend is speaking to you and they care about your best interests. Not maybe the thing that's going to make you like the happiest, where it's like, yeah, I think you should, yeah, go ahead, date that guy. Like, or go ahead, date that girl. Yeah, whatever. Like, they have your best interest in mind where they're like, hey, I don't think that's maybe the best decision for you. You're going to get your heart broken, right? Sometimes we need to say that to our friends. We need to be tough and tender with our friends. Tell them with love, but also be a little bit tough with them. The Bible is sometimes the exact same way. And what James is trying to address in James 1:19, the little subtitle in your Bible, some of you might have it, it says hearing and doing the word. And what he says is this in verse 19. He says, know this, all right? That's kind of like an attention statement, right? You know those attention statements like, hey, you over there, or yo, 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 or whatever language you speak, right? He says, know this, my beloved brothers. Don't you love that? Like, imagine, like, I should maybe start doing that, like, I get up here every week, my beloved brothers and sisters, right? He just says, hey, attention, attention, my beloved brothers and sisters. This is what he says. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Notice what he says. I love the three like directives. He says, let every person be one, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. I think these would be like the three description words that we could say that our culture is the worst at. right? Or maybe you or me. I know I am. Like, I'm the worst at being quick to hear because I love assuming that I know what other people are going to tell me. But notice what he says. He says, one, be quick to hear, so be listening, slow to speak. So don't think you know it all and just speak, 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 speak. And then he says, slow to get angry. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. As we're trying to answer this question, what we're really asking and answering the question is, what is the purpose of the Word of God? What is the purpose of this book, right? Like, some of you guys have this and you have it out tonight. Some of you maybe left it at home. It's hopefully sitting on your bedside table, whatever you're doing with it. Hopefully you have one. If you don't, we'll give you one, as we always say. But what's the purpose of this thing? What's the purpose of the Word of God? What's the purpose of being taught? What's the purpose of doing what we're doing tonight? What's the purpose of what we do on Sunday mornings here at church? What's the purpose of all of that? This is the key idea for tonight. This is what James is trying to say. The purpose of the Word of God is one, hearing, two, receiving, three, doing, and four, practicing. All right, for you note takers, this is the way it's going to go. The purpose of the Word of God is hearing, and that's found in verse 19 and 20. Receiving, verse 21. Doing, verse 22. And practicing, verse 26. You say, first and foremost, James is like, in order for you to hear and understand the Word of God, you first and foremost, number one, you have to be hearing. You have to be listening. Now, some of us are like, that's kind of obvious. Duh. Some of us maybe didn't even hear that because you're focusing on something else, which just proves you have to hear, right? Like, many of us hear things, but few and very often do we actually listen to things, right? You have to be in a position of hearing. You have to be intentional about, I am going to listen. And this is what he says, right? Again, I'm going to say it again. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to get angry. So maybe when you're reading the Bible, it's like, I don't like what that says to me. Maybe when you're listening to me speak, it's like, I have to be quick to hear what he's going to say. I have to be slow to speak and assume that I already know what he's saying. And number three, I have to be slow to get angry or think that he's like trying to attack an area of my life. Number one thing is you have to be hearing. How many of you have been in the situation where, again, maybe it was your parents, maybe it was someone at school, but they were like, are you even listening to me? Right? You've been there before? Are you even listening to me? And it's like, if sometimes if you're being honest, you have to turn to them and be like, no. No. Last thing I'm listening to is you right now. Let's be honest. On Sunday, Andre and I were in the car, and we were driving to Young Adults, and there was this radio show on the radio. It was on the entire time we were in the car, but I only realized what was going on until, like, did I just say the radio show was on and the radio was on? Okay, so a talk show was on the radio, and I didn't realize that there was a talk show on until they started laughing like 5 minutes into my drive, and I realized, holy smokes, this has been on the whole time, and I turned on and I was like, what are we listening to? And she's like, I have no idea. It just showed that both of us were not hearing, and sometimes you and I can be that way with the Word of God, right, where we go and we're trying to maybe study it personally, but we're not even in a place of ready to being to hear. Right? We're not even listening to it because we're thinking about all these other things. Two, next in verse 21, this is very, very key. He says, therefore, to be able to hear, this is what he says, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Secondly, he says, in order to receive, you must get rid of the distractions. And isn't this so key? Right? You have to get rid of the distractions. Like, first you can hear, and sometimes you maybe hear what somebody is saying to you, but then there's something that else is going on. Like, when you're asked to maybe go clean your room, or when you're asked to call somebody, or when you're asked to do whatever it is, you hear it, but then you're distracted, so you go do something else. And then I know with Andre, it's like, Matt, why are the dishes still in the sink? And it's like, I don't know. She's just like, well, you didn't do it. I was like, yeah. She's like, well, you know, I asked you to do it. And I'm like, yeah, I know. She's like, well, what were you doing? I was like, well, I got carried away with this. Right? And she's like, well, come on. Like, you said you were going to do it. And then she loves and forgives me. And see, I fail all the time. But that's just an example. Sometimes there's distractions. And sometimes with you and for me, there's distractions. Like maybe for you, when you come in on a Wednesday night and you hear the teaching, you're distracted because you could be thinking about multiple different things. You could be thinking about, okay, this is what's going on at school. Maybe you could be thinking about like an addiction or like a struggle that you have. And you're like, oh, that's a distraction too. I got to deal with that. Or maybe it's like a school project, or maybe it's your cell phone, or all of these different things. We live in a world that is constantly filled with distractions. Here are some other examples. This could be like social media, schedules. It could be unrepentant sin. It could be a conflict that you have with another person in the room right now that you're like, that person drives me insane, right? That person is annoying, right? And what we read in the Bible is what we're supposed to do with that. We're supposed to confess that to God, and then we're supposed to go to that person and confess it to them. Because without doing that, you're not going to be able to receive the word because there's stuff going on. I don't know if you guys knew, but today starts a season of Lent. Lent is like 40 days leading up to the resurrection of Jesus. And generally in the season of Lent, people give up certain things or they say no to certain areas of their life. And I've decided, I'm telling you guys this so you can hold me accountable. There are three things that I decided to give up in my life for Lent. Okay, you ready for them? Number one, I decided that I am going to watch no television after 6 p.m. at night. No TV after 6 p.m. Now, this is the reason, and I don't have cable, so I just have Netflix. But what I was finding, what I was doing was I could watch like entire seasons of television shows in like 3 or 4 days because I'd just inhale them. I'd like eat them all up because I'd go home and like I'd finish like at youth and I'd go home and be like, oh, there's nothing really to do. Oh, I better watch a TV show. So I'd watch this TV show. Then the next day it's like, I'm not doing anything for the next 3 hours. I could get in 4 TV shows. Boom. Done watching 4 TV shows. And what I was finding is I'm just been getting into this rhythm of like doing the same thing over and over and over again. So what I said was, I am not going to watch TV for the next 40 days. It's only 40 days, right? I can do it. And what we're supposed to learn in this is we're supposed to realize, like, this thing has control over me. It's a distraction, not only to my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my friends, other relationships. It could be a huge distraction in my life. Number two thing I'm giving up, Facebook once a day. I'm only checking my Facebook one time per day, okay? And I haven't put any, like, time limit restriction on it. I'm not that crazy about it. So it's not like I'm going to sit there once per day. Okay, I'm on here for 30 minutes, right? No, like, I'm going to go on it. Do the stuff that I need to do, leave it, don't go on it again, all right? Because I want to relinquish the control that it has on my life. Number three, what I've decided to do is I've deleted Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, these three social media platforms that are on my smartphone, okay? And so what I'm doing, because you know what I was finding I was doing? I'd go on my phone, even before I'd hit the floor in the morning, I'd open it up, I'd go, oh, Facebook, boom, okay, done with that. Boom, Instagram, oh, cool, little pictures, you know, boom, done with that. Oh, Twitter, what's saying on Twitter? Did anyone mention me? Like, it had such control over my life, and what it's ultimately become is distractions in my life. And so I'm like, if I want to grow better in my relationships with my friends, and also, most importantly, the Lord, I've got to get rid of the distractions. And so I've just said no to those next 40 days. I'm not going to do those things. Something to do. Number third thing is we've got to do is we've got to actually do the word. And this is what James says. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. He says, because if you're doing that, if you're hearing the word but not doing it, he says, you're deceiving yourself. He says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forget what he was like. But then he says this, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty or the Bible, the word of God, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. What he says is it's useless. It's useless. This is what he's saying. It's useless to read the word of God and not change any area of your life. It's useless to hear teaching about the word of God and not desire to change any area of your life. It's useless. You're deceiving yourself. He says it's exactly like the person that goes and like looks in the mirror. It's like, hey, I looked in the mirror. And then you walk away and you completely forget what you just look like, right? Maybe some of us have actually done that before, right? Where we go and look in the mirror. It's like, okay, do I look presentable? Yep, boom, leave. And then you get somewhere and someone's like, whoa. You're like, what? And you forget, right? Useless. Looking in the mirror then was useless. You didn't even need to do it. It was the exact same thing. Because as we look in the Bible, what you and I are to do is to reflect God on the world, all right? Oftentimes when we make decisions, this is what we ask ourselves. How will this make others see me, right? What will others think of me if I make this decision? What will others think of me if I wear this t-shirt? What will others think of me if I do my hair this way? Oh, and I hope that they say something about me and tell me that they actually liked it, because if I don't, then there's a problem with that. Whereas what we're supposed to be asking the question, if we're to be reflecting the image of God, is how does this make God look? Right? How does this make God look if we're to be a reflection of Jesus to the world? So we've actually got to do things. And number four he gets into is, he says this, you got to do it, but then you got to practice it. And in verse 26 and 27, he says this: if anyone thinks he is religious, so if you think you're religious, if you're like, I'm at youth tonight, so I must be religious, he says this, and does not bridle his tongue, so control your tongue, control, as we talked earlier, slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to get angry, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. So if you're not able to control your tongue, if you're not able to really get it, move, then your religion, you shouldn't even say you're religious, basically. Then he says this, and this is a very key verse. He says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God, he says, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Right? So what's true religion? If someone were to ask you, hey, what's religion all about? You can say this to them: well, true religion is this, and this is what the Bible tells me, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unstained from the world. And if you get serious about reading the Word of God, about getting the Word of God, about understanding the purpose of the Word of God, that it's for hearing, it's for receiving, it's for doing, and then it's for practicing, then you're going to keep yourself unstained from the world. I read a quote recently, and it said this: the Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to the person that is not. All right? The Bible that is falling apart, because it's been used so much, tends to belong to the person that is not. Now, the Pharisees, when Jesus ran into some Pharisees, they knew the scriptures back to back at that time of what they had of the scriptures. They could memorize it completely. And Jesus has a problem with them, because it's like, he's like, listen, you love the scriptures, but you aren't loving me. And that's a problem too. But what I'm truly saying is this, is that the Word of God is so important because it helps us reflect God to the world, because we know what God thinks, we know what God wants us to do, and we know what it actually looks like to love God. And so in these passages, James is like, hey, do you want to know what to do? Here's what you got to do. You got to be in a place of hearing. You got to be willing to receive, which means you got to get rid of the distractions. And he says, do it quick. Thirdly, you got to be doing it. And fourthly, you got to be practicing it. You know what that means? It's like I can do, like I can read my Bible like once a day, but to get into a practice and habit of doing it is I do it regularly. And so what I do is I read my Bible regularly, and I have people in my life that hold me accountable to it. And so they check in with me regularly and say, have you been reading your Bible? And so I keep doing it because it's a practice and it's a habit. But I've got to be like, when I go to the Word of God and I'm like thinking about something else, I got to expect I'm not going to get much from it. Right? So you got to be willing, you're in a place to hear. You got to get rid of your distractions. You know what I do lately? And you might think this is strange, but we sing this song like falling on my knees in worship. You know what I've been doing lately to keep myself from getting distracted? I literally get on my knees, bowed down when I do my prayer. Because if I don't do that, I'll just get distracted. I'll start like, because sometimes when I sit in a chair, I like slouch. Well, that's uncomfortable. I'll go to another position, right? Just keep moving around. I was like, oh, that's distracting. So what I need to do is I just need to like get on my knees, go down, and get remove the distractions. I find that for me, that helps me the most. If you're serious about wanting to get into the Word of God and get into prayer, you've got to figure out what's going to work the most for you. Some of you, you would go do that and be like, oh, this is so uncomfortable on my thighs, right? Like, you just might be that person. But you got to figure out, how do I remove the distractions so I can be in a place of receiving? Because so many of us are never in places of receiving. This is why I think you should actually read the physical hard copy of the Bible and not just your phones, because if you're like me, if I'm reading my Bible on my phone and a text comes in, guess who's distracted me? The text. And then guess what I do to create that more of a distraction? I go check the text rather than actually reading my Bible. So what I do is I check what I'm supposed to read on my app in my pocket. I click, I read it, and then I go and read it in my Bible to remove that distraction. And some of us, you just need to do that. If you want to be serious, you got to take your stuff seriously, and you got to do it seriously. All right? But tonight, what you're going to answer, you're going to answer a couple questions in small group. I was initially going to have you come up and do an exercise, but stop. Took a little bit longer. than I was hoping it would. But what you're going to, one question you're going to answer in a small group, and this is really, really important, okay? This is really important for your relationship with the Lord and for you to grow in community with the people that you're in small group with. You're going to be asked the question, what are your distractions? What is your, as he says in this verse, what is your filthiness? What is your rampant wickedness? What is the thing that's keeping you from spending more time with God? What's the thing that when you go to read your Bible keeps you from actually engaging in the Word of God? What is it? What is it? All right. And so my prayer for you guys is that you can do that and talk about that in small group time and then be like, let's hold each other accountable. If it's for you that, you know, you go and sit in a big comfy chair and end up falling asleep when you try to pray, hey, next week we're going to ask you, did you go back to that comfy chair? Because guys, I've had times where I have like late been like, oh man, I want to pray, but I'm going to lie down to pray. Boom, out like a light. Right? So I know, again, that when I pray, I cannot lie down and pray because Satan overtakes me and is like, we're going to get you asleep right now. Right? And then sometimes I justify and I'm like, oh, God obviously wanted me to sleep. Oh, he wanted me to speak to him. All right? So let's pray. You guys can get off to small groups and enjoy your time tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we could spend together. And God, I thank you for your word. The more that I read it, God, the more that I realize how far I am away, Lord, from ever kind of making it, God. And I thank you that I don't have to make it, Lord, because you are perfect and Jesus' perfection covers my imperfection. And so I thank you for that. But God, I also thank you that you love me enough to discipline me. And I thank you, God, that you love me enough to make me question areas of my life that I'm slipping up in. God, I pray for each student in this room tonight. I thank you for who they are. Thank you for who you've made them to be. God, I pray that over the next day or so, God, that they don't fall so into the temptation of what is this guy or this girl going to think of me or claiming that there are true loves, God, when you are our only true love. And God, I just pray over that. Lord, I know there's probably someone in this room that needs to hear it. So God, do with it what you will. We love you. And God, I pray that you'd give us wisdom. I pray that you'd give Justin, myself, and Sarah and Jake wisdom, God, as we try to figure out when we're going to move our retreat to. God, that's an area of my life right now, Lord, that I've just been really worried about. So, God, I pray that you would just provide peace in my anxiety over that. And, God, may we find a time that's going to work for us. And also, God, I pray, I thank you for the group of students that I was able to speak to today at GC. And, Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen their faith. And also the other Christians in this room, God, that are part of Christian groups and clubs. God, strengthen their faith as well. And may they pursue you all the more. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Thanks, guys. You can leave the chairs where they're at. And then if you want to finish about 5 or 10 minutes early before 9, if you have the time, we've got popcorn. We've got ridiculous amounts of popcorn, so you're welcome to come back and eat. But you can't take the popcorn out of this room. You can't go to the popcorn now. No. You can't, because that'll be a distraction, Colin.